If that's you this morning, know that the Lord is with you. And he's going through that season with you. He didn't leave you. He's right there. He's looking after you. And he wants you to bear fruit. So, title for my sermon this morning is Priesthood of Believers. And I'm aware that this is not necessarily something that you will hear everywhere and anywhere. But this is something that we as Just Gen believe is biblical. Therefore, it's a sermon. Because if it's biblical, we are allowed to share it in church. If it's not biblical, then we don't share it. We try and stay away from opinions in church and motivations. But if it's encouraging and build up the kingdom of God and it's biblical, then we share it. Therefore, this morning, the priesthood of believers. So a question for everyone here this morning, who has went to any concert or show in any form? Like you've went to see an artist play or a band, or I just want to know, am I speaking to the crowd or just to myself? Okay, so I'm sure the majority of I'm pretty sure everyone here has went to see someone perform in any sort of way, right? Now, thinking of that moment, there was some planning that went into that, right? You had to make sure that nothing else gets scheduled for that time. You had to make sure that you don't work for that on that time. You had to most likely pay some money towards it, unless you were invited with, which is also great. Or you had to drive there. Maybe it wasn't in town. Maybe it was, even if it was in town, I'm sure you didn't walk there. So, daar moet jy ingegaan, reg? You made some trouble to get to the concert, to enjoy the concert. And then while you were there, depending on how big of a fan you are, there might have been this where you hope to meet the artist afterwards. I don't know. I've never been there. I've never been big on artists and stuff. But I am aware that this is a thing. Sometimes people want to meet whoever is performing because, yo, maybe he remembers my name or my face. I won't burst your bubble this morning, but maybe he does. Maybe you went with friends to bond with them, and it was a special moment, and it was an occasion where you had to, where you spent time with family and friends, and you had a, maybe there was a nice dinner, you guys were all around the table while someone was performing, and there was someone telling jokes or whatever the case might be. I'm trying to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we've all have experienced some sort of moment where we have invested in some sort of form, financially, time, some trouble that went in, and we went with the idea to enjoy it. Surely you didn't go there to just go sit, get up afterwards, and walk out. Okay. If you were, that's not judging. Now, second question, who have been part of organizing an event of any sort? Anything from baby showers, just if you haven't been part of that, just hold on, they're on their way. Baby showers, mannebraaie, maybe you've been part of an organization that does events, such as Kerderen wat optree, you know, maybe you've done anything like that. Maybe you've organized something for your work, a work party, Christmas dinner. Anyone that has done something like that? Okay, just again, making sure that I am speaking to the crowd here. So, you were invested there. But this time, you were invested from another point of view. You were invested from, if I don't give in any sort of form, this thing is not going to happen. Or the part that I have to play, you had to help organize the Christmas dinner for your work, the work party. If you didn't send out the invitations, then people weren't invited, right? If your responsibility was to make sure that there's a dinner, and you didn't organize food, wouldn't there have been much of a dinner party? it doesn't make sense, right? If you didn't play your part, something would have been missing. So you were invested in such to such an extent that if you didn't bring your part, a piece of that evening or party or whatever would have been missing. And the same, so if we now go back to the concert that you attended, if you didn't attend that concert, would the concert still be happening? Yeah. Would the person that was performing miss you? Sorry, no. Okay. You wouldn't have been missed. But if you are invested in organizing something, making something happen, and you're not there, or you didn't do your role, your part, people would have known that Jock wasn't there, or Jock forgot to send out the invitations, or, sorry, Jock, not picking on you. Now, I'm going to take us back to the Old Testament here, and there's a group of guys there, a group of people, and in this case, they were only guys. They were only allowed to be guys, actually. That was part of making sure something very special happened. Now, these guys also had a place where they made this happen, and this place was called the Tabernacle. And these guys were called the high priest. Okay, that's singular because there was only one of them at a time. And then there were the priests. There were a few of them. And then there was a third group of people, the Levites. Now, each one of them had a different role. The high priest was the only one who was able to go into the Holy of Holies where he met with God. And he went through the atonement of forgiving people. He didn't forgive people, but he went into the Holy of Holies to speak with God on behalf of the Israelites. The priests, they were allowed into the holies, or the holy place, and the outer courts of the tabernacle. They helped with the sacrifices and making sure the incense was burning and there was bread on the table and a lot of other things. Please take note, the sermon is not on the tabernacle, so I'm not going into too much detail. Go read it. And then the third group of people, the Levites, they were allowed only in the outer courts of the tabernacle. They were there to safeguard so that the Israelites just don't just come in, because it was a holy place. And if you weren't cleansed, if you weren't one of the called, you were not allowed in there, not even into the outer courts. And these different spaces were covered by curtains. So myself wouldn't have never been able to go into the outer courts. Nevertheless, the holy place. And never ever in my life would I have been able, because I'm not a direct ascendant of Aaron, I would have never been able to get into the Holy of Holies, where the high priest met with God. Okay, so they were quite special people. They had quite a significant role in that tribe, or with the Israelites. They were the middleman men between the Israelites and God. So, fast forward a few years, Jesus is born, the Savior, the one who died on the cross. And Jesus came not just to fulfill the law, he also fulfilled, not take away, he fulfilled the law, but also he became the most high priest. And this the scripture here, Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15 reads as follows. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6 reads as follows. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. Jesus didn't walk around saying, I will be your high priest. No, the Father appointed him. He said, but God said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever. Now take note, the high priest that started with Aaron, he passed away. He wasn't forever. And then his oldest male ascendant was appointed as the high priest. And then he passed away. So the high priest and the priests and the Levites were always replaced because they passed away. But Jesus is not replaced, because he lives forever. He was raised from the dead by his Father so that he will always have that space, that gap between us and the Father. He fills that gap as the high priest. Now, a lot of things happened the day when Jesus passed away on the cross and then when he was raised again. So he came to fulfill the role of the high priest. He was without sin, so he didn't have to make any sacrifices. The high priest had a whole ceremony that they had to go through to make sure that they were cleansed to be able to go into the Holy of Holies. Jesus doesn't need to go through that because he was sinless. He is still sinless. Yet, he was crucified as the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, for our sins. And therefore, he now carries the title of the high priest. And he carries the anointing of, or not just the anointing, but he fills the gap. He is now the middleman between us and the Father. So when Jesus died on the cross, the moment he breathed out his last breath, we read that the curtain was torn in the tabernacle. There's the scripture there, Hebrews 10, verse 19. Yeah. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the most holy place, that is the Holy of Holies. That's where the high priest was the only one able to enter there. But because Jesus died on the cross, that space has now been opened up. There are not different rooms anymore. There's now only one space. Because this order of high priest and priest and Levites were taken away by Jesus on the cross. And what did he leave us with? By a new and living way, he opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Yeah, let's see, 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. As Jesus died on the cross, he opened up that space of the Holy of Holies so that we are able to enter the presence of God through Jesus. Not through good works, not through coming to church, not through reading your Bible and smiling to people. Through Jesus, you enter the presence of God. Verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Verse 25, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Please put on 24 again. Just go back one verse. Let us consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Are you able to love and do good deeds to those around you if you are in isolation in your house and watching church on the TV? Honest question. No, you're not. Paying some financial contribution to an NPO where you have no clue of what's going on. You don't know the people. That's not doing good. That's making you feel good. But there's a difference between doing good and making you feel good. Loving one another means that I need to be able to see Jock. Paul, I don't mean, if you don't mind, I didn't ask you beforehand, but you just got a dog as well this week, I heard. Poor Mika had a crash landing. Things were tough this week. Okay? If everyone just went to the house and went like, yeah, I'm praying for them, would they have felt the love? No. No, they wouldn't have. But if people reached out and messaged them, knocked on their door, said, hey, I'm just checking in, would they then have felt the love? Yes. Yeah, they would have. And we believe that as a church. We believe that we get into one another's houses so that we can love. Because you need to understand that as a church, we are a ministry team. I am not the minister. The elders of this church is not the ministers of this church. We together minister to God on a Monday, on a Tuesday, all the way through to a Sunday. We minister to God. What it looks like every day and every moment of the day is different. Because we all have different capacities, we have different jobs, we have different time schedules, we are in different phases of our lives. The way that I minister on a Monday to a Sunday is different than what Jock ministers from a Monday to a Friday, because he's most of his time spending his time at a stadium chasing guys around on the field. He's a rugby coach, for those who don't know, just... Okay, and he shows them how to pass a ball. So, like, just like. So, his ministry, the way that he ministers is different, but his ministry is the same. He ministers to God. And the same for me. And the same for each one of us. No matter the phase that you are in. Now, Ephesians 4 says the following for us. It was he who gave some to be apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry. But these people were given to prepare God's people. If you are born again and saved by his blood, you are part of his people. For the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. He says, some translations reads, for the work of ministry. Some of us are so, we love that word so much. Ooh, me and my ministry. What is your ministry? Minister to God. The service, the works of service. Service, we serve one another. We serve God. And we are called to be equipped, each one of us, all of us, to do that in our day-to-day lives. Can we read verse 16 there as well, please? You can just go on to verse 16. You've got 16 there. Yeah, perfect. From him the whole body joined and held, that's from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, there's a body that works together. It's not as Aaron's preach on a Sunday and as this one prays on a Monday and as that one leads worship on a Saturday. No. As the body works together. So ask yourself, do you come to church on a Sunday? Or do you know that you are part of the church from Monday to Sunday? Because there's a big, big difference. You have a part to play because you are part of the priesthood of believers. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and 9, we're going to... Verse 5 reads, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Jesus has designed the church. I want to read this sentence to you. There's a Oom Len Diesel, some of you might know him. He said this, or I heard him say this. Jesus has a place designated especially for you to serve in his body. Jesus has a place designated especially for you to serve in his body. Not to just be part of his body, but to serve in his body. Now his body, or the church, you can go to any church, Josh Jane, any other 412 church, the church down the road, physical road, or any other church anywhere in the world, and you'll get three groups of people in all churches. You'll get the essential core, not the essential leaders. Please make sure that if you make notes, I didn't say lead, I said essential core, which refers to everybody and anybody who partakes in making sure this happens on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, on a Monday, on a Thursday. Anyone who plays their part in making sure that church happens is part of the essential core. Not making sure your ministry happens, making sure that church happens is part of the essential core. Then you get the casual helpers. They won't necessarily start something themselves. They won't necessarily reach out to people or greet people by themselves. But if you ask them, hey, will you please make coffee this week? They'll help. If you ask them, will you please help pack out the chairs? They'll help. And then the third group of people, and I was part of this for a long time, and many of you might have been part of this for a long time, the Afrikaans here, sitplek verwarmer, a pew warmer. Dis gemaklik om op 'n Sondag te kom en te sit, en op te staan en uit te loop, because it doesn't throw your schedule around too much. Your schedule. But Jesus taught us how to pray. He says, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Moenie laat my skedule u beïnvloed nie. Not my schedule, my will, but your will. So, I believe very strongly, and if you believe the scripture tells us otherwise, please come and speak to me afterwards, because then I need to repent and change my ways. But I believe very strongly that the scripture is quite clear that God wants all of us to be part of the essential core of his church. He wants each one of us to play our part, because the church... And in this case, if you are part of us this morning or even visiting here and looking into us as a congregation, this congregation will never walk in the fullness God has for her if you don't play your part. This congregation will never walk into her fullness if each one of us don't play our part. I'm going to land with an example, and then what are these sacrifices that we can lay down. So I met a couple a few years back, I think in 2023 or 2022, down in Vredendal. That's where I grew up. Small town in the west coast, Namakoland area, and about 100 kilometers away, there's a town called Clan William, and... even smaller. Now, I visited the 412 church in Vredendal, all right? And I walk up to this een oom, and I go like, hi, goeiemôre, Ernst, da-da-da. Are you guys from here? No, we're from Clan William. Oh, you're just visiting friends or family? No, we're part of the church. Sorry, just explain to me. No, we drive in every Sunday. Every Sunday, you drive from Clan William. You pack up your wife, and your I think he's got three kids. You put your wife in the car, in a suitcase, pick up your wife. Laai die kinders in die kar. And you make sure that you're on time for church, because that's where God has placed you and God has added you. And then after church, you drive back again. And I know that back then, he was also joining community in the week, in Vredendal. So on a Wednesday afternoon, he would drive to Vredendal again to join community evenings, and then he'll drive back in the evenings. Thanks. So, please, if I ever complain about driving too far again, remind me of Oom Francois and Tannie Carlin. And I checked last night with the lead elder there from the Fort Worth Church. I messaged him last night. I said, Niels, please help me. I met this couple. Are they still part of you? And he replied, yes, they still drive every Sunday. It's 3 years later. Unfortunately, the farming, he farms. Unfortunately, the farming is keeping him too busy in the week to join community. But every Sunday, he's at church. And if there's something happening on a Saturday and he can attend, he's there. Or they are there. I heard about this elder in Namibia. Same thing. 180 kilometers. Now, if you've ever been to Namibia, okay, a lot of you seems like haven't been there. That's next, okay? You don't get little dorpies. It's just road. 180 kilometers of desert. Every Sunday they drive, they made this joke and say the only reason you marry in Namibia is so that your wife can open up the gates as you drive. Because he's got 16 gates from his farm to the highway where he then gets on. So, and then he drives back after church again. This guy's a leader. He's an elder in that church. Because he gives himself. And God has raised him up to lead, help lead his people. How easily do we complain about, we have something on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning or this or that. Then we look at these examples and people laying down their lives completely in terms of finances, time, inconvenience because I have to get up earlier, and I need to go to bed later because if I drive in the evening, I'm going to get home late. But I lay down my life for the sake of his kingdom. So what are the things that you can lay down? Oh, no, I'm not done with this guy from Namibia. So hy is 'n Afrikaanse boere oompie. Okay, they know two English words, this cheap. I don't know if this tells as a English word, but so hy praat net Afrikaans. And he comes to this 412 conference 1 year, and the next moment, people are stage diving, okay? Just in celebration and everybody's just rocking up and loving Jesus and jumping up and down. They've got a few young guys who go like, hey, can we just celebrate this with stage diving? If it's too much, we cancel it. But we just want to, and here goes, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, so I'm going to call him Mkwebis. Sounds like Afrikaans from Namibia. Hier kom Mkwebis met sy rooi baard, stap op die stage op. Staan in die ry, reg om te stage dive. Okay, now think of the most Afrikaans oom that you can think of in Kimberley, because we've got a lot of them here. Will he ever stage dive? Probably not. But Oom Kobus knew that him getting on stage is not setting up a show, because it wasn't about him. He knew that it was about him laying down his life for Christ and saying, even if the other boere vind uit that I stage dived, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to glorify the Lord with my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole body. I'm going to lay down my life. Now, please don't take this as we see stage diving as an ultimate in church. Not at all. That was a momentary thing. But he laid down his life baptism. Getting baptized in water is a moment where you lay down your life and you proclaim to those around you, I choose Jesus and I follow him with my whole heart. It's a sacrifice. Because what will people say if I get dunked under the water? The Bible tells me to get baptized. So I'm going to get baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, speak to a comm leader, please. Speak to a deacon. Speak to someone you trust. And find out why do we believe it's important to get baptized. Tithing, giving your finances to the church. Sacrifice. Every month that I take out a part of my income, I give it to the church. And I say, Lord, this is yours. It's not I need it, Lord, so here it is, please give back. No, Lord, I give this. It's yours. And I know that your church will look after this and steward this well. I give. And then time, my body. I'm going to land with the scripture in Hebrews 13, verse 15 to 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his names. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. How that praise that we read in verse 15, it's not just a song. Yes, it's a song as well, but it's testifying about his goodness, sharing the testimonies that he has done in your life, how he brought you through those difficult times, sharing about the life of abundance that he has given you. It's worshiping, it's singing, it's praying, being part of the congregation, and on Sunday morning when we get led into worship, I'm gonna sing with. I'm going to praise with. And then doing good to one another and share what we have. There's a saying in Josh Jen that we jokingly say it, but we really mean it. What's in my fridge is yours, and what's in your fridge is mine. Because that is the extent to what I welcome you into my house. And if you've been in my house, you've probably heard me say, the first time I'll offer you coffee, the next time you make it yourself. Because then you've seen where everything is. And it's not to be rude. It's I want you to be part of my household. I want you to feel so welcome that you come into my house and open up the cupboard and see what is there to snack on. It's not weird for me or Lisa if you do that. Because we share. Because we love, and we love because we know that we are loved. I'm going to land there for us. So out of this morning, may you know that you are called to be part of God's bride, his church, and you are called to be a holy priesthood. So you can uitstap in yourself a priester noem vandag. Maybe don't do that. You'll be frowned upon in Kimberley, but know that God has called you to be a priest in his household. Okay. It's not a title. It's a way of living. It's a way of doing Christianity. Let's close our eyes. If you've neglected your role as a priest,